You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Lots to digest on this week's golf podcast. It's Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham to reflect on the US Open 2015 and look forward to a couple of good events this week. We've got the BMW International Open on the European Tour and the Travelers Championship to come on the PGA Tour. Dave Tindall, not in situ this week. He's been a little bit naughty, Mike. He's gone on a driver's awareness course. So Dave Tindall not with us this week.
Naughty David.
Naughty David. But I'm looking forward to these two events, but we've got to start by reflecting on what we saw Sunday night, late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Jordan Spieth back-to-back, chasing the Grand Slam now after his win at Chambers Bay. An eventful championship, to say the least, Mike.
Wasn't it just, Dave? I thought those greens were good, didn't you?
I mean, they got a ridiculous amount of abuse from both onlookers and the tour professionals.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't like them, did they, some of the players? No. Well, they weren't probably up to standard, were they? It's a shame because it looked a great course. It's great to watch. It was challenging and interesting. I just think that if they ever go back there again, the greens will need to have improved, won't they?
Yeah.
Because it's all right saying it's the same for everyone. Well, actually, it isn't, because if your ball just deviates for no reason and that when it happens to about eight of you, you know, there's some ludicrous.
Things don't even themselves out over 72 holes, do they?
Not necessarily for greens, do they?
No.
You know, the course being tough is the same for everyone, but greens are just so random, aren't they? You saw that putt that we showed you of Darren Clarke the first day where it just kind of almost on a magnet went around the hole. Bill and Stenson had one on the final night. That shouldn't happen. But I thought it was a great course. And you have to say the leaderboard was a fascinating tournament.
Yep.
Albeit I watched it on delay every morning because it was too late for me. It was a great course and a great leaderboard. Some great top players up there.
Tee to green, I thought it was superb. I love watching Lynx golf anyway. So
me too,
it was right up my street.
Yeah, just the greens need to be fairer.
The greens were poor. The greens were poor. Yeah. Jordan Spieth the winner, but that Sunday night was just an exceptional night of golf because you had Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott making charges from down the leaderboard. Mm. Then you had Dustin Johnson seemingly capitulating at the start of the back nine, and you thought his chance had gone.
Yeah.
When Spieth made birdie on 16, it looked like the job was sealed, but then he hit one of his worst shots that he's ever likely to hit in his professional career off that tee on 17 and made double bogey.
He did.
Dustin Johnson hits a couple of incredible shots into the 18th green, sets up a 12-footer for eagle from above the hole, and then inexplicably 3 putts from there, Mike.
Yeah, I was delighted with that.
It must have been heartbreaking. I know you were watching it on delay, but it must have been heartbreaking because from going,
I didn't know the result, Dave, but no. I got up, I recorded it on Sky Plus and fast forward, you know, fast forwarded through it. So I watched pretty much all of the play, caught up pretty quickly. Yeah, I thought he'd won, you know, when he got the eagle putt. Yeah, he was obviously one of my picks, so it was frustrating. But Colin Montgomery on the Sky coverage said, oh, that's good, he's downhill, so he won't leave it short of the hole. And I remember when he said it, I was thinking, well, actually, I'd be happy if he gets in two. Yeah. If the worst comes to the worst, it's a playoff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So not exactly bad news. You're 50% chance of winning, I guess, the next day. But he knocked it past and then missed. How far do you reckon it was? 3 feet?
3 feet, 3.5 feet, maybe.
Terrible, really.
My annoyance with that, obviously, got him for the money list. You'd put him up on the podcast as well.
Mm.
He took 40 seconds between hitting the eagle putt to hitting the birdie putt.
He rushed it, didn't he?
He rushed.
I've seen you on Twitter saying that his caddy was his brother.
Yes.
Probably needs to be a bit stronger. I also saw some tweets over the weekend about Rory's caddy who needs to be a bit stronger. I know you believe that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You're probably right. Yeah, whereas Spieth's caddy knew the course, but keeps him very steady.
You see, that relationship works perfectly. They're discussing every single golf shot. Bones and Mickelson. When Tiger Woods was in his absolute prime, Stevie Williams. You saw how Adam Scott was reinvigorated this week with
by Williams.
Yeah, I think it's underestimated, in my opinion, the caddy player relationship.
I think it's a fair point, Dave. I get that totally. Johnson just didn't look like he was thinking about what he was doing. He was thinking about not winning the tournament, not thinking, hold on a minute, I need to get this one in or else I've lost, if that makes sense.
I saw a theory as well about the grain and on the greens later in the day with the sun shining on them. He missed every single putt low, Dustin Johnson, in that final round.
Yes, he did.
Maybe if he's got a caddy, Steve Williams will be in there on every single putt reading the greens. A little bit of help there might not have gone amiss either.
But, you know, it's fine margins, to be fair, Dave. People are now questioning just Dustin Johnson's
resolution,
his bottle, whatever you want to call it. He holds that eagle putt. What are people going to say about Jordan Spieth? Because John Spieth had a big lead on the 17th, double bogeyed it, then missed a fairly easy eagle putt, didn't he? Relatively easy. Yeah. So it's just amazing how one shot can just switch the whole story, and if is a very big word, isn't it? If that goes in for Johnson and he wins on the eagle putt, Spieth all of a sudden looks like he's blown it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think Dustin Johnson will win a major championship by a large margin. I can see him running away with one and not having to hole a four-footer for birdie on the last to get into a playoff. I can see him winning by 4, 5, 6 shots, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't want to show any disrespect to Jordan Spieth, but I thought Johnson probably played better over the piece, but he didn't win it. Louis Oosthuizen, frustrated. That's another annoying thing, by the way, Dave. Not alone did Johnson miss out on the vinyl hole. We had Oosthuizen coming to pip your top South African bet,
Brandon
with
Grace,
and my top rest of the world bet. So Grace dropped that into a tie with about 4 other players for the second place there, rather than winning it, which looked a certainty. Oh, that was a bad shot.
He blasted it off the planet, didn't
nearly
he, on 16.
Nearly hit a train.
Well, they had the pro tracer on that, and I was thinking,
where's it going?
This has got to draw. This has got to draw. And a lot of people were on Brandon Grace at huge prices, weren't they?
I'd backed him myself about a week before the tournament, so I didn't. He'd collapsed in the market, so I didn't tip him for the outright last week, but he was my best winner, funnily enough. Financially.
Going into Sunday.
Yeah, but I'd backed him for the top rest of the world, which we tipped last week on the podcast. But then Lowry got caught by Rory for the top European as well, so it was all...
It was one of those frustrating weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But Jordan Spieth chasing the Grand Slam now, Mike, a real possibility that he could... Well, a real possibility. There's a chance that he could make history. St Andrews and Whistling Straits
most
to come.
Most definitely. I wouldn't rule it out at all. He's a great player. And the stars seem aligned because a few things fell into his lap, didn't they? He's a great player, admirable character, and fair play to him. So that's the way it goes. I wasn't moaning too much about it. It was a shame that Johnson didn't win, but at least he got placed. David Adam Scott got placed. We had a run for our money, and that's what golf's all about. It was a great... I'd love to have watched it live, Dave, because watching it as live wasn't quite as good. You know, you stayed up, didn't you?
I did stay up, and I was just stunned. You know, I couldn't sleep.
I bet it was that amazing live.
It was unbelievable, because it was 3:30 in the morning, and you're thinking, I've stayed up all this time.
And it's been worth it.
Yeah, it's been worth it. I've tried to stay up, and I've managed it. And then to see that, I couldn't sleep at the end of it because it was just an incredible, exhilarating finish.
I couldn't sleep the next night.
Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got another couple of good events here. Start with
onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards, precisely. The BMW International Open, first up on the European Tour. Henrik Stenson, the 7-1 favourite for the event. And Martin Kaymer 8-1, Chris Wood is 16s, Joost Luiten 16-1, Shane Lowry 16-1, 20-1 Bernd Wiesberger and Rafa Cabrera Bayo, and 25-1 and bigger the rest. And we're at the golf club Munchen Eikenried for the 17th time. First played host to this championship in 1997. It's a par 72, measuring 7,181 yards. And the venue usually might produce as low scoring. And if you're looking through the course form, it is worth noting that the 2012 and the 2014 editions of the championship were hosted by the golf club Gutlerkenhof. So you've got those. Obviously, it's hosted it 17 times, but you've got to kind of strike a line through 2014 and 2012 here.
You have, Dave. You're right. It's moves around the courses. So, but it's been here plenty enough times, hasn't it? To give us a bit of a feel for what it's like. What were you looking for at this course?
You think about the scoring, it's low, fairways quite wide. I'm looking at strong wedge play, and we always talk about putting, Mike, being the most difficult stat to predict week to week.
Correct.
It's important here because scoring is so good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Scoring is so good. Well, you've hit the nail on the head. I'm looking for people who can play, can put well and can hit decent wedges.
Yeah.
I've got two selections.
I have as well.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first. Lead off.
Thomas Bjorn.
I've gone Thomas Bjorn as well.
I mean, you said wedge player, funny feeling, you know. Yeah, well, there you go.
He's one of the best in the business historically, isn't he?
He is. He was second here last time. He's won at the course in the year 2000.
Yeah. Won twice here, 2002 as well.
And 2002, sorry, absolutely, you're right. And that's a little while ago, to be fair, but the second last year, that last time here, should I say, behind Ernie, wasn't he? Is very interesting as well. So 11th at Wentworth, 21st in Nordea, coming back to form. Some of his stats, Dave, they're not great, are they? But he's been putting well, I think. He was first in greens in regulation at Nordea, I think, for putts in greens in regulation, should I say. And he's ninth on that stat for the year. And that's an important statistic in this event. So top 10 on a year where he's done nothing. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Thomas Bjorn, both going with him at 33-1. Other pick, Mike?
He's by far my strongest fancy here. There's a couple of players that I did look at, but the one that lucky pin fell on in the end was Richard Green.
Okay.
Richard Green it's a kind of a feast of a famine event for him. This, he's gone ninth miscut, 12th miscut in his last four outings on this course, should I say. He's been putting pretty well this season, top 25 for that stat that I've just been talking about, the putts per greens in reg that they do in the European Tour. Not very good greens in regulation stats per se, but his putting when he gets on there are pretty good. He did miss the cut last time out in Nordea, but was 10th in Ireland before that and 22nd in the PGA, and also had a top 20 in China just a couple of starts before that. So it was just looking like he was coming into a bit of form, Dave. Those two decent finishes there in the last four outings at the track, just at 80-1, make me think he's a reasonable each-way bet. Hasn't won for a few years on the European Tour, in all truth, so he's probably more of an each-way, maybe even a top 10 player, than an absolute surefire winner. I'm willing to give him a try at 80-1. He's got a touch of quality and he has shown that he plays this Munich course pretty well.
Richard Green, 80-1 in the betting. An outsider for me as well as in my second selection here. I'm going with John Hahn. He has been cut slightly from 125 to 100-1, but I still think he's worth a go at triple figure odds here. He's actually having to split his time between the Challenge Tour and the European Tour. This season, he failed to get full-time privileges in that qualifying at the back end of last year, but he's really grabbed the opportunity with both hands recently. You look at his recent form, finished fourth in a Czech Challenger, then went to the Nordea Masters on the European Tour, finished tied for 24th, then finished tied for 6th at the Lyonnais Open. Admittedly, the Lyonnais Open not half as strong as this particular field.
He should have finished higher than 6th.
Yeah, he opened up with an 8, didn't he, in the championship, and eventually finished tied 6th and didn't make a thing on Sunday.
No.
On the back nine.
Played well, but didn't hole anything.
Yeah, played really well. And in those two events, he ranked 2nd and 10th for greens in regulation, respectively. I think this venue will suit his game as well. First look at the course, but he's not that accurate from the tee, but these are quite wide fairways, so that should negate that particular impact, and he should be able to utilize that strong iron game. I quite like him at the price, so 100-1 John Hahn.
That's
my second
price,
selection.
Big price, that. He's in form, isn't he? I looked at Pablo Larrazabal's one here before, but just isn't playing quite well enough. 50s did tempt me a little bit, though, I have to say. He was very, very close. He'd be a player I don't want to win in this event. As for outsiders, maybe Felipe Aguilar or Lee Slattery are there or thereabouts. And after putting a good word for Tommy Fleetwood, who had another good US Open and really seems to be...
Yeah, flourishing.
He does, doesn't he? His stature is rising.
A couple I liked. I thought you might have had Marcel Siem on in mind.
Yeah.
It's a local, isn't he?
He is a local, but his form is poor. Yeah, I tipped him not so long back, didn't I? And I've just got a watching brief on him.
I like Matt Fitzpatrick around here. He's a little bit short at 50-1. That's why I left him out, but... he's making his debut in the event as well, but I've been impressed with his performances recently. He'll like playing at a shortish venue like this one, and he's had top 10 finishes in Ireland and Austria recently, so game clearly in good order. Top 25 in the Open de España and the Mauritius Open before that, so got a strong body of form Mats Fitzpatrick at the moment.
Good signs, isn't he?
And Bernd Wiesberger, from the guys at the head of the betting, he tempts me. He really likes this venue. And he was so short for his home championship, wasn't he?
He was.
Went off 4-1 there and disappointed. I mean, he blew his chance in 7-8 holes there, didn't he? And played well in the second round, but couldn't make the cut. And then didn't perform that well last week in the US Open, but I expect him to bounce back this week.
Him and Lowry are backing them both for the top Euro actually last week, Dave, and he started really poorly. He was something like 4 over after 5.
Yeah.
And he played a little bit better. I think I finished about, maybe it was 4 over, but his last, he missed the cut obviously, last 20 holes or 27 holes were a lot better than, showed a little bit of promise, so, but 20's maybe a bit short.
Who were you, interested in anyone at the top of the betting?
Well, I like Loughton, obviously, who played very well for a long way at Chambers Bay. Just 16-1 was a bit short. I think, you know, he should go very well. He's really...
Loves it here, doesn't he?
Talk about Fleetwood growing in stature. Loughton really is going the right way, isn't he? Shane Lowry are back for the Open.
you mentioned that.
So I was pleased to see him do well in the US Open, and he did me a turn on the top Euro, so... I think he's just playing ever so well.
I was looking this morning. He's 50-1 now with Hills.
For the Open?
For the Open Championship.
He loves
it. You've backed him at 3 figures, haven't you? On the right side of that.
Fingers crossed. Henrik Stenson, what are you reckon about him? I backed him last week for the US Open.
Give me Stenson at 7-1 over Keimer at 8.
Yeah, Stenson loves it here, doesn't he? And he's playing better than
Keimer. Keimer's won here before, but Keimer's just finding something at the moment, or struggling to find something at the moment.
Yeah, he is. Stenson... disappointed in the final couple of rounds for me at Chambers Bay, but I think he got frustrated with the broccoli comment.
I
don't want to hear you say that, Stenson. Say that after the event. Say how much you like the greens for now. Get me positive, man.
I agree with you, to be honest. We saw a lot of moaning and whinging last week, which I think it's fine if you asked the question, but I'm not... Spieth probably didn't like the greens last week.
No.
But he didn't come out and openly say it during the event. No. The only gripe he had was with the 18th, and they changed that back to a par 5 for him.
It worked, didn't it, that?
On the Sunday.
They couldn't change the greens. Nice. You can moan about changing it from a par 4 to a 5. Yeah. They might do something, but they can't relay the greens.
Good stuff. That's the BMW International Open then on the European Tour. Let's move on to the
good
Travelers.
Event.
It is a good event. Let's move on to the Travelers Championship, which is this week's PGA Tour event, and Bubba Watson is the 12-1 favourite here. Brant Snedeker 14-1, Patrick Reed is 14-1, Billy Horschel and Sergio Garcia both 16-1, 25-1 Brendan Steele and Louis Oosthuizen, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. A lot of the focus this week, Mike, will be on those that have made that trip from Seattle, Washington to Cromwell, Connecticut for this year's Travelers Championship, obviously going from west to east, and certainly in the lead up to the championship there's bound to be speculation about how those that were tested last week at Chambers Bay are going to perform in wildly different conditions this week.
And it's a very valid challenge, and when I started looking at this tournament I thought I'll avoid players who were in the mix at Chambers Bay, but my top pick is someone who was right in the mix. I have to say I couldn't resist his price. So yes, listener, you're probably right to think it's the group of people who maybe didn't even play or whatever, but oh, you've got some stats.
I've got some stats. I thought this because when the FedEx Cup that was conceived this venue was used, or this championship was used for the week after the US Open since 2007. Look back through the winners and see how they'd performed, if they'd been in the US Open and how they performed previously. Hunter Mahan, admittedly, only two of these were West Coast US Open, so you've got to factor that in. But it's about the test more than anything, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Mahan in 2007, he was the winner, tied 13th in the US Open the week previous. Mm-hmm. Sink, 2008, tied 14th in the US Open the week prior. That was West Coast Californian
very
US
good.
Open.
Yeah.
Kenny Perry, 2009, 44th in the US, so he played there as well.
Yeah.
Bubba, when he won in 2010, didn't play. Jakobsen in 2011, tied 14th the week prior in the US Open. Leishman didn't play in 2012. That was the West Coast US Open that Webb Simpson won. 2013, Ken Jute didn't play. Streelman in 2014 played in the US Open but missed the cut. So
it's not a mixed bag. No, it's not.
It's
better than I thought.
Not being detrimental,
I haven't done my hard work as much as you. But yeah, I think you've proved there that it doesn't make that much
of a difference. Well, you've seen 5 of 8 have played the US Open the week prior.
Top 20 by the looks and 4 of them have them.
Yeah, 3 of them have finished top 20 and Perry was 44th in the US. So
I picked one guy who played well in the US Open and one guy who missed the cut. But conventional wisdom is that you're probably better not to have been in the mix, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you, naturally? Mm. You'd naturally think that.
How many picks?
I've got a couple of picks and a couple that I definitely want to mention. We mentioned that this is a different course entirely as well. TPC River Highlands, the host this week for the Travellers Championship. The two courses at the opposite ends of spectrums, aren't they, really?
Yeah,
both par 70s, but Chambers Bay could be 7,800 yards and was a beast.
Yeah.
This is a kitten, really, isn't it? 6,841 yards, this golf course. So it gives the shorter players a little bit of a squeak.
Low scoring.
Yeah.
Birdie averages, good putting, all of that, completely.
Bit of par 4 scoring in there as well.
They'll be relieved to be playing.
Yeah, they will, I think so.
Yeah, just you go first, and if you want.
Couple of picks for me, and I'll start with Zach Johnson at 33-1. Probably my strongest bet of the week at the prices. I'll play my point each way. Short, low scoring venues, right up his street, really. And if he had better course form, he'd definitely be shorter. Course form's not that great. He did finish 3rd on debut, but last few seasons he's played here, not really featured. Played okay at Chambers Bay for 3 rounds and had one pretty disastrous round. But in hindsight, Mike, length was a big factor at Chambers Bay, wasn't it?
Well, that's one thing we did get.
Yeah,
right.
we didn't.
Length. Spieth isn't the longest, but you look at the players around him and there were a lot of long hitters, weren't there?
Spieth's just got those intangibles, hasn't he, where it's just... He's got the X factor, hasn't he?
He has. He defies the stats often, doesn't he?
He does. Prior to Zach Johnson's performance at Chambers Bay, he played well in the Players, the Colonial and the Byron Nelson. And his putting has stepped up markedly recently, which is huge for him because throughout his career, you've thought this guy's a fantastic putter. And it's not been that way recently. I just think this is a course that should suit his game and I think he'll go well at 33-1 and I thought he was overpriced, so I'll play him a point each way.
No, fair call that, Dave. I can see that totally. I'd expect him to go well, quality player. I have gone for a player that I think is overpriced this week, surprisingly overpriced.
Okay.
Cameron Smith.
Yep.
82-1 just strikes me as very, very big price. He played ever so well at Chambers Bay, finished tied 4th, excelled... in such tough conditions, we'll find this a breeze in comparison. And he hasn't played as many rounds this season as some of the other guys, so his stats are based on fewer rounds in truth. But he's 2nd, I think, in strokes gained putting, 12th in birdie average, and 6th in proximity to the hole on the US Tour this season. As I say, you have to take those stats with a little bit of a pinch of salt because he's not played quite as many events. But he was 5th in the CIMB, which is a tour event back end of last year. Decent finish at the Heritage, played okay in New Orleans and the Byron Nelson. Not missed the cut at the Memorial, but 80-1 for a guy who played that well last week and will be hoping to emulate Mark Leishman, a fellow Aussie who won here in 2012. I just think that is a very, very big price. He looked a real future star to me.
Only player last week to shoot level par or better in all four rounds, Cameron Smith. First time I'd really seen him swing the golf club, in all honesty.
Totally. He was definitely under my radar, Dave, but I'd heard of him and knew a little of him, but I didn't realise he was that good. And he was no fluke. He was up there right till the very end. If he isn't mentally shattered by that, which he could be, but he's a young guy, I'm hoping he won't be. 80-1 is huge.
Yeah, 80-1, Cameron Smith. Just a quick line I forgot to mention on Zach Johnson as well. 11 PGA Tour wins, 10 of them double digits under par, his winning score. The one that wasn't, of course, the Masters, where he shot +1 to win the Masters. Zach Johnson.
Quite an important one,
exactly. Yeah. Second selection for me, I'm going with Sung Yul Ngo. At 100-1 as my second pick. You mentioned Cameron Smith's form at New Orleans, that good finish at New Orleans.
Yep.
Sung Yul Ngo won at New Orleans, the Zurich Classic last year. It's a course that has a tendency to correlate with this one. Both Pete Dye designs that TPC Louisiana and this week at TPC River Islands. And just went in my notebook, as it were, with that tie for 3rd in the FedEx St. Jude. That came on the back of a string of miscuts for Sung Yul Ngo. Bit of form here as well. Four straight rounds of 68 on his debut here in 2012 to finish tied 18th. Thought he was worth a shot this week. Sung Yil Noh at 100-1 is my second and final pick.
Fair go, that, Dave. Fair go. I have gone for 66-1 shot Brendan Todd as my second pick. Todd missed the cut at the US Open last weekend, and I think missed his cut on his only previous outing here in the Travellers. But I just think a decent player who should be suited by this track. You know, that's a big word, should, isn't it? He's top 20 for proximity to the hole on tour. Accurate off the tee, top 25 for strokes gained putting. He's a good putter, Brendan Todd. And much the same as you mentioned, Zach Johnson doing well in low scoring events, Todd's pretty much the same. Yeah. His Byron Nelson win was in a low scoring event, and you look through the vast majority of his top 10s are in events that are double digit under par. So that was definitely something I had in mind. He's a proven winner, a bit like Zach Johnson. He's won on tour last year and also won a couple of times on the web.com tour. So, yeah, Brendan Todd, a winner at 66-1, will have escaped back to, I think he's from Pennsylvania, so not a million miles from Connecticut, away from from Chambers, a bit nice and early.
I think everyone wanted to get away from Chambers Bay, the majority of the players.
So I'm hoping that he has a good putting week and gives us something to shout about.
Good stuff. Brendan Todd available at 66-1. A couple of others on my mind. Have to mention Russell Knox, who is underpriced at 33s. But
too short, isn't he?
Yeah, you look at... He comes into this on the back of seven consecutive made cuts, seven consecutive weekend appearances, 13th here in 2013. As Rob Bolton mentions in his power rankings, he's got good stats in every area, key areas I was looking at. Ninth in greens in regulation, second in proximity, tied fourth in par four scoring. Just a little bit short for a non-winner at 33s, maybe.
That's the word. At this moment in time, he's a non-winner, whereas someone like Todd's double the price and he's a winner. He was very close for me. I mean, that's not to say I wouldn't pick non-winners, but... Yeah. Just 33s.
It's not anything to scream about, is it? No. Patrick Rodgers, another one. 100-1, Patrick Rodgers.
Yeah, he's on my list as well.
He's just got such a big future.
Definitely.
If you can catch him right at 100-1, 125-1.
That might be...
It's maybe not a price you're going to get in the future.
No, you're not. It might not be exactly the course of him. He's a bit of a long hitter, isn't he? He's another one of these young American future stars for certain. I thought that he was on my list, actually. Justin Thomas I was looking at, but 40s was a bit short.
He got smashed early on, didn't he, on the Monday. He was a bigger price.
Was he indeed?
Yeah, so a few people have cottoned on to Justin Thomas.
I didn't know that, but that 40s was a bit way too low for my liking. I expect Brendan Steele and Billy Horschel to play well, but they're both very short as well.
Yeah.
At a guy who is just couldn't play well at, just is so hard to predict, Anders Romero, 100-1. 14th in the US Open, amazingly. You think that would have been his cup of tea. He's a good links player, isn't he? His stats are horrendous, so I couldn't put him up. But he might be coming right, Mike Romero, and he's quality when he's at his best.
If you were picking at the top end of the market, who would you have gone for? We've got 12-1 Bubba Watson, Brant Snedeker and Patrick Reed, both 14s, Billy Horschel and Sergio, both 16s, 25s bar.
Bubba plays very well here, to be fair. He does. And just didn't get things go his way in the US Open. Yeah, maybe him or Horschel. Horschel's obviously been on my... I've tipped him every week for about the last 12, so... What about you?
I just think Snedeker could go well again.
You like him, though. You only missed out by, a shot for a place with him?
Yeah, it was frustrating because he was actually 2-under making the turn, and you're thinking, if you get a couple more, you might win the championship.
And they end up...
End up getting the place, which he... Admittedly, a little bit frustrating, but he tends to keep his form for a spell, then go off the boil, then regain his form. Yeah. So he's obviously in form, very much in form right now. So he was of a little bit of interest, but 14-1 again with you, with Billy Horschel, a little bit on the skinny side.
Yeah, they are a little bit. Who would be your player you don't want to win in that one then, Dave?
I think the player I wouldn't want to win in that is Russell Knox. Because I'm bound to miss him when he pops up at 33-1. And in the other event,
well, let's be fair,
Matt Fitzpatrick, I think.
If you'd backed him every week, that you'd by the time he does win, you'd be about level, wouldn't you? So all of us, you know, because he is always thereabouts, isn't he? Knox, you look at it, you think, oh, he's got a chance. Oh, he's a bit underpriced. well, I've got to the point where I'm going to let him win, and then if he can kick on from there, I'll follow him.
That's it. No, I agree, I agree. Let's recap the picks then for this week, starting off with the BMW International Open, Mike.
Thomas Bjorn, I think I'll have a point and a half each way at 33s.
Okay.
And Richard Green, probably half a point each way on him. Bit speculative.
I'll play a point each way, Thomas Bjorn. I'll go point each way level stakes for all four golfers this week. Thomas Bjorn at 33-1 and John Hahn at 100-1. And in the Travelers, I'll take Zach Johnson at 33s and Sung Yilno at 100-1.
In the Travelers, Dave, I'm going to have 2 points win a point place on Cameron Smith.
Okay.
He's massive at 80s. If he's not tired out, if he's not mentally shattered, his stats are great.
Young guy as well.
Young. I think he's he looks... I might have got it wrong and he might have fluked up at Chambers Bay. But 80s, I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah.
And Brendan Todd, I'll have a point each way at 66.
Looking forward to this week, folks. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter as well, at M. Grenham and at D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. We'll be back next week.
At Dave Tindall Golf. Don't forget him. He's probably out driving around the streets of Leeds at the moment. US Senior Open.
Oh, is it this week?
It is.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so I'll definitely tweet a couple of selections in that because that's always a good event. Plenty of TV coverage usually. Favourite is Bernard Langer, who was excellent in the last major. Senior major,
With Miguel Angel Jimenez at 6-1 here with Hills, Colin Montgomery, 7-1, and Joe Durant 12s, 14s bar. Monty played well, didn't he?
He played ever
first
so
two
well.
Days.
He did.
I mean, he was very good.
Very good. He is very good. He's playing very well on the Champions Tour. To give him his due, he's right up there winning senior majors.
Yeah, so that's this week as well. Mike will tweet a couple of selections. So at M. Grenham to follow Mike on Twitter, at D. Kellner to follow myself, and at Dave Tindall Golf. We'll be back next week. Should be a fun week, folks. Looking forward to it immensely. Hopefully you enjoyed the US Open Championship at Chambers Bay as well. You've got the BMW International Open, the Travelers Championship, and the US Seniors Open this week. Remember, you can download the podcast via iTunes or get us at our audioboom.com page as well, just by typing in William Hill. And myself, Mike, and Dave will be back next week. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.